Coming to the Greater Green Bay Area live from the WGBW studios at the City Deck Landing and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Well, thank you very much. Welcome back to the second hour of the Mayor and Mino Show here on 97.9 FM, 1590 AM, WGBA, Green Bay's Talk Radio. Mr. Mayor?
We have a great guest.
You have the floor.
I thank you.
Isn't that what they say in like Madison? Mr. Mayor, you have the floor.
They do. That is true. The floor. And then people can't interrupt.
Right.
Something. Well, we'll try to get to that rule.
I'd be good just being that guy. Mr. Mayor, you have the floor.
But you can't interrupt, John.
I wouldn't.
Okay.
I never do.
Okay, never.
All right, go ahead.
But we have a guest on today. I just want to reiterate why they chose the playing song of Tina Turner, Simply the Best, because this community, Greater Green Bay, the MSA, which is the Metropolitan Statistical Area, was chosen as the number one place to live in the United States. And you look at the 330 million people that live here, a lot of factors went into it, and it takes a lot of moving parts to be in the top 20 when it comes to best places to live. And environment wasn't part of it, but cost of housing, crime, infrastructure, amenities, and that takes a lot of people working together. And we have one of the people on the line with us who helped us achieve that goal, and that's Representative John Mako. John represents I don't even know what number it is, but I know part of the east side of Green Bay, the university is obviously in your district, and you took a lot of your knowledge, talents, committees, and put together a state budget that was passed by the majority of the 99 assembly people, the majority of the 33 senators, and obviously signed by our governor. So welcome back. Tell us a little bit more about the budget and what you're working on.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guys. Yep. And we did. This is a process, so everybody understands. It's a little different than the federal government. So the state of Wisconsin runs a biannual budget. Now, when Congressman Reed Ribble was congressman, he had a bill that he was trying to make the federal government also go on a biannual basis. It's every 2 years, which would have been phenomenal. People say, well, what difference does that make if you spend the money in 2 years or if you spend money in 1 year? It's just twice as much. But the process itself is so draining, and the politics get squeezed out of it. The politics are half as much because for the last 6 months, it has literally been profound negotiations. Everybody and his brother, and to put it into perspective, the state of Wisconsin spends about $1 billion per week. So if you do the math on that, Jim, we spend more in a day than what it took you to run the city of Green Bay for an entire year. Or we just had UWGB on their budgets about $120 million a year. We spend more than that in a day than it takes to run UWGB in a year. So it is a massive undertaking, and it happens every 2 years. The other cool thing about the state of Wisconsin's budget that's a lot different than the federal government is our budget always has to be balanced. Number one, it has to be. It's factually must be balanced. And number two, if we fail to pass one or if the governor were to veto the entire thing, we just simply revert to the budget that's already in place. And so there's no running out of money. We don't have the problems. So the problems in the federal government are not at all the same issues that we deal with here in the state of Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. So we're run substantially better. And so that process has resulted in a very, very large budget. And I want to tell everybody, I mean, our budget 10 years ago was about $65 billion over the 2 years. Then the last budget was about $85 billion. So do the math on that. That's $20 billion on $65 billion. That's 33% increase. And now we've increased it again from about $85 billion to about $99 billion over the biennium. So we continue to be able to invest in programs throughout the state of Wisconsin. No program has been shorted, contrary to some of my folks that want to say, well, you're cutting this program, you're cutting schools, you're cutting this, you're cutting that. That's factually not true. You can look at the Consolidated Annual Financial Report year after year after year for every single year, whether it's universities, K through 12, anything. Great. And there has been zero funding cuts. Right. Now, they may not have gone up as much as some people want.
Right.
But
that's always the case.
I defy anybody to show me those
right.
negatives.
That's always the
case.
So
what we wanted,
Yes. I just want to say that happens locally, too. They don't get the increase they wanted, and you cut their proposal. Well, but you got an increase. You know, and I think people get that. Tell us, though, Representative, how are we going to benefit here? It is a lot of money, and I bet that wish list is miles long, and you've got to
First of all, Jim, I want you to know, the state of Wisconsin, like I say, we pay our bills on time, and we've had this surplus. Everybody understands that. They're going to look, how can we have this surplus? Well, there's two things that provided that surplus. There's one-time money, so money that wasn't spent in certain programs, and it rolls over, and now we get to do something else with that money. It's already been allocated, and that was about half of our surplus. $3.5 billion, about half of our surplus came from one-time money. And then we could use that money in the budget for one-time things, okay? Like, we're not going to spend one-time money that we then have to incur year after year after year after year. So you hear some folks complaining about certain programs. Well, why didn't you make this a program? Well, because that's an expense, right? Not once. It's an expense. If we go ahead and did that, that means we would have to spend that money every single year, every year, every year, and there's no guarantee we would have that money. So you can use one-time money once. And so if you have a building we need to build, we might have paid cash for that. Or a road we had to build, we might pay cash for that instead. Or debt that we have, we might pay debt down. So that's examples of how you could use one-time money. Then there's ongoing money, and where did that come from? Well, that's excess taxation, right? And a big, big part of that money came from, I'm very excited to say, matter of fact, about half of our surplus came from the change in the sales tax policy that happened about 3 years ago. We thought when there became parity to sales tax, when everybody had to remit sales tax. In the past, what happened was if you bought a fan at the hardware store in Wisconsin, you'd pay sales tax on it. The place that you bought you bought it at the hardware store, they would collect the tax and remit that to the state of Wisconsin. But if you ordered it online from somewhere in Timbuktu, they would ship it into Wisconsin, and you were supposed to pay the tax, but they didn't collect it, and very few people were doing that.
Imagine that. People not voluntarily paying taxes. But I know that happened here, and that was a big reason we got the surplus. But I just want to, we're up against the clock a little bit, Johnny, and I got some.
That's because you were talking to.
I know. And
basketball team for a long time.
But what did I tell you yesterday? That I will have you in studio, not next week. We're at the EAA the week after. But just give me two or three things how we benefit in this
all right,
part.
So here's what's going to happen. So one of the biggest things is we dedicate 20% of the sales tax revenue. 20% of the sales tax revenue now is specifically targeted and designed to go to local funding. That is huge. So Brown County is going to see a 77% increase in funding, $2 million every year. Green Bay is going to see a 20% increase in funding, $3 million every year. Ledgeview is going to see almost 1,000% increase. They've been growing like gangbusters to over $237,000 a year. Glenmore, Rockland, New Denmark, Bellevue all see massive increases in their local shared revenue funding, and that is going to help them with all of the projects they need. Now, we targeted a lot of that for safety, for police, fire, EMS, that type of thing, but also for roads. So it should be very good, but we wanted it to go to the places that needed it the most. So that's some of the things that we'll see. Now, I don't have the data on what it is for the west side, because I don't represent the West Side, but it's safe to say, though,
Representative, that every municipality is going to see an increase in shared revenue.
Absolutely, every single municipality throughout the state, just a tremendous amount of money, and that's how we felt it would be best. Because you guys, Jim, I've said this all the time. I mean, what we do in Madison is relatively innocuous compared to what you guys do. I mean, when rubber meets the road. At the county level, at the city level, at the village level, at the town level. I mean, I love going to those meetings because that's where you guys actually get stuff done. And what you guys can do to impact the tax burden and the life of a regular citizen is way more impactful at the local level than anything we can do in Madison or D.C. Now, everybody wants to talk about those big things, but they're not nearly as impactful on a day-to-day basis as what you guys do, and we wanted to get as much money to the local governments as we possibly could.
And thanks for that, right? So we got an increase in shared revenue. What else? A couple other things quickly, and then I'm going to get you back in 2 weeks.
Yeah, a lot of cool stuff happening. Schools, for example, we put in an additional $1 billion in the school systems, and that is amazing. $50 million for new science-based reading programs, $30 million to increase mental health, $100 million for special education. It is unprecedented amount, and that is on top of what we did the last several years. So again, the naysayers are saying we've been underfunding, so they're just categorically not factual. Again, right. School funding has gone up over 50% under Republican control. I'm sorry, that's biased, but that's a fact. In the last 10 years, we eliminated personal property tax. And what does that mean? Well, if you're a small business owner, you are still paying tax on a chair or a desk that you bought 10 years ago. And Paul Zeller, our county treasurer, would have to send out thousands of these tax forms to all these businesses, and then they have to calculate how much tax they owed on their desk and their chair and their credenza, and then remit that to him, and then he would have to remit that to the town. It was a pain in the neck. It was ridiculous, and we eliminated that completely. So no more
statewide
personal property tax.
Statewide. So that benefits yep. Brown County, but that benefits all 72 counties, right? There's no more personal property tax.
Exactly,
okay, that's awesome.
Right.
All right, yeah. One more thing. We got 2 minutes, and then I'm going to have you back in
yep.
2 weeks. But
I would say roads. So the other thing, right. Jim, that's a big deal that we did with it is roads. $1.5 billion invested into roads, way more than the governor even asked for, and substantially less bonding than he was asking for. $285 million, over almost, you know, almost a third of $1 billion going to local and agricultural roads, of which I do. And this one is a biggie because we've been working on it for so long. Funding for the Southern Bridge, $50 million to finally get the Southern Bridge going. You know, that project's been going on so long. The road by Fulton Van Dyke there, that goes by Fulton Van Dyke, where that
right.
Is going to start coming in from 41. You know what the name of that is? The name of that road is Southern Bridge Road. So that's how long we've been working on it.
Yeah.
And now it looks like we'll finally get that done. So a lot of great things we were able to deliver to the district, and I'm very, very proud to have been part of that.
Well, thanks for the effort on that. And, you know, that sounds good, right? I mean, better schools, more local money for issues like public safety and some major projects.
But that
and
doesn't happen by accident,
no,
Jim.
I
mean, you know, and so, you know, that those are very difficult decisions. I mean,
yeah.
There's no shortage of people that want to spend. I mean, if we had $3.5 billion worth of excess ongoing revenue,
right.
There's no shortage of people finding ways for us to
no.
spend that. But
well,
then you have to look and say, what is the most prudent way of doing that? I think it is
right.
a profound
We're glad you're, all right.
stewardship responsibility.
Yep. Glad you're watching out for us. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you in a couple of weeks. Safe travels.
Right.
WGBW, yep. Thank you. 1590 AM, 97.9 FM. We'll be right back.
Music.
It's not, you're
going to hear it. You can hear yourself. Hey, welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here, 97.9 FM, 1590 AM, WGBW, Green Bay's Talk. Had a fun slamming show here so
yeah.
far today.
A variety, right? Which is what we want to
Which
bring.
Is what we're doing. Cassidy Schultz and then Kevin Borseth and State Representative John Mocco,
right.
who already offered Cassidy a job running one of the stores. And now we have some very good friends of mine who do a very special thing. And I thought this would be really apropos, Jim. One of the things near and dear to your heart is feeding homeless.
Right.
Okay. And Vicky and Dennis Vosters from Appleton. Well, actually, Freedom, right? Would be
yep.
your hometown.
Yep.
They feed veterans.
I know.
On a scale that's incredible. And I've been there numerous times. I used to serve coffee. I was a great barista, wasn't I?
Yes, you were.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And... But it would be every Friday morning.
Did he serve patsies or was it?
Pasties? No, he did not.
Okay, all right.
All right. I'm getting
ahead,
started.
All right.
So they'd have a great breakfast, fantastic breakfast, free of charge
nice.
To any veteran. And then on Saturday, they'd have a fantastic lunch. And Vets and Friends is the name of it. And you guys are carrying this on. So both you guys, Vicky and Dennis, just jump in, whomever and whenever. Tell me how this got started, where it's like, we're going to go on a mission to help. Oh, now it's Wednesday. I'm sorry. Well, now it's changed, though. It used to be. Okay, so they have new hours and days, so we'll talk about that. But when did you say to yourselves, we want to go on a mission and spend a really big part of our life feeding veterans for free?
Well, I guess it started back in 2017 on Richmond Street in Appleton. And a gentleman named Jack Voigt started this. And in about 2019, I think Vicky and I became involved. We joined the board of directors, and Sometimes I regret it. But we serve veterans free meals on Wednesdays from 11 to 1. And that's a big home-cooked meal, and it takes a lot of preparation. And then on Friday mornings, we Freedom Breakfast from 8 to 10. And
I had it wrong. I had the old schedule.
You had the old schedule.
So go ahead.
But right now, last Wednesday, I think we served 125. And Friday morning, I think we served 93. So we're getting close to 225 veterans a week. And their spouse or friend or whatever.
And that's what I said, Jim. This would be right up your wheelhouse here.
That's an effort. I mean, it is an effort to prepare that quality food, nutritional food. But I'm sure you see this, but what you're doing is more than a nutrition. I mean, that camaraderie that you're allowing them to share
exactly
stories,
correct.
To be supported, and to show the community, look, we didn't do everything right, with some of the veterans, but we're trying harder now than I think we have in some years past. And this is what a great program. And for you to give your time and to doing this, this is very commendable. And this is on Richmond Street.
No. Now we're on 100 West Capitol Drive.
Oh, you're on Capitol.
They moved.
At St. James United Methodist Church. Right. We rent the building. We rent the hall and the kitchen from them. And they were more than happy to have us. At least they thought they were, because, and now it's worked out really good for them and exceptionally for us. I mean, now we got a commercial kitchen and a hall, a hall that I think we can seat about 140 in there.
Nice.
And,
so Vicki, how are you enjoying this? I mean, are you cooking? Are you talking to the veterans or the families? What's your role?
And lining up the volunteers, which is huge.
That's our big thing, the volunteers. We could never do this without all the wonderful volunteers that we have. I mean, they come in, some of them come in twice a week, and they are dedicated. They come in, they help in the morning, getting everything prepared, everything set up. Our board of directors are there hours before we serve so that we can get the tables lined up and everybody in order. So Dennis sits by the door, greets the veterans and their friends that come in, and we do a 50-50 raffle, and everybody, of course, wants to talk. And this is our biggest thing to prevent suicide.
Well, and not only that, but a lot of the gentlemen have outlive their spouses.
Yes.
And this is one of their main social things that they do.
Yes. A lot of them say this is their two home-cooked meals a week. Yes. This is what they get. And we do give away things that we do get at a free table for them. Some of them, thank you, Quick Trip, for all the wonderful sandwiches that they donate. Some of them, we get them frozen. They take them home. This is their sandwich for the next day or the day after.
That's Jim great. And I are big fans of Quick Trip food. Just
wonderful.
A little sidebar to Quick Trip and the Zitlos. We love them. You know, I
don't know why we battle weight issues.
Why? Johnny and I have this bet going of who can lose the most weight in a month. And the other person, the loser, gives the other person $100 to their charity of choice. So we haven't defined the charities yet, but we did weigh in after 3 weeks. And
I'm in the lead.
He's in the lead because John gained 3 pounds and I gained 4. So, but it's this Quick Trip fast food. I want to get back to you. This is that's a sidebar. This Vets and Friends, you know, I was looking at your mission, and of course your mission statement is, why do we exist? And I have to read this before we go to break here, but it's to connect our veteran community in a safe environment while offering free meals, engaging conversation, and lasting fellowship. I mean, that's a beautiful mission statement, right? I mean, that says it all. And I just, you know, God bless you for doing this. Tell me about the volunteers. I mean, are you looking for volunteers? You get school groups, or how does this work? And is this all year? Is this 12 months that you do this?
We do this 12 months a year, twice a week. Yes.
That's awesome.
Yes. And we take church groups. We just gave a talk at a church and they came about 2.5 weeks ago. We were short because it was the 4th of July. And not only did the two that always came, they brought along six members of their church group, including the pastor.
Wow. Right.
So, I mean, it's been great. Businesses, a lot of times, Community First has come. Thrivent has come. Yeah, they send people. So, I mean, it's just wonderful when they come and bring a whole group like that.
Well, I think you guys bring the whole veteran community and others that have always wanted to help the veteran community but are never quite sure how to.
Right.
You guys have found that outlet for all concerned. Mm-hmm.
Appleton Police Department came. Last week we had the Grand Chute Fire.
That's why I had to stay away for a while.
Firefighters came. Three guys on the big truck in case they had a call, you know, but they came. And it's wonderful. The veterans love to talk to all these people.
Mayor here on WGBW on a Tuesday morning downtown Green Bay. We're talking with Dennis and Vicki Vosters from Vets and Friends in Appleton. Excuse me. And we're talking about one of the gentlemen that comes there. Arden is his name. I always enjoyed talking to him. And Arden is how old?
He's 99 in August.
Incredible gentleman. Still drives himself to the thing, Jim. And he was a nose gunner. You know what a nose gunner is, right? And you know what? If you were in the Air Corps back then, you would have been a nose gunner.
I don't know.
Or one of those turret gunners.
No.
He's on the raid on Ploiesti, and that was the oil fields in Romania in World War II. Okay.
Wow.
Just on this one raid, 310 air crew members killed, 190 captured. Isn't that amazing?
And that's
so 500 that went out that day, killed or captured.
Wow.
And he was a nose gunner on one of the lead planes, flying down, looking at all this flak and artillery coming up at him, German fighters and everything. Does he talk too much about details, about what he went through?
Not really.
No, yeah.
He just says, well, it was his thing to do at the time.
And he did how many missions?
45, I think.
Because I think 30 at or 25 at first. You know, if you do 25, you go home. But they were losing so many guys that they had to extend it, and they kept extending it. And the thing is, it's almost like that stop-loss thing that I hated in Iraq and Afghanistan, right, for the guys, where it's like you're counting down, and then it's like, oh, by the way, we're going to extend you for another, you know, 3 months or 6 months. And they were doing the same thing to those guys over there.
And we'd need to get him on. I know he's 98. He's going to be 99 in August. But that was his duty? I mean, that's the way he feels?
Yeah. That's what he did.
He said he was young and dumb and didn't know any better.
Now, that I believe. But, wow, that's incredible. Say, I want to...
But the story's in their room every week. Like I was saying, right? It's just incredible.
Well, and we just mentioned earlier about your mission statement, how it really ends with lasting fellowship. There's a concern in this country and in this community on suicides. And even though you don't call it out in your mission statement, I got to believe you're...
In the back of your minds.
Yes, it is. And I think that's what, I mean, these guys, I really believe they come for the camaraderie and the food is secondary, or it's vice versa. We don't know, but we don't care.
The food is very, very good. I'll tell you, I came for the food.
Well, then just think how great the camaraderie is.
But yeah, it's the combination of both. I mean, if you take like Christmas and everybody comes over, it's the camaraderie of family, but it all takes place over food.
Right.
You ever notice that?
Oh,
food
yeah.
Brings people together. And I think that's pretty important. And again, I want to reiterate that we cannot function without our volunteers. And a gal named Kathy Locke is our volunteer coordinator. I think it's a full-time job for her.
Let me just say something. I dealt with Kathy in a lot of events when I was working in Appleton. And I always said, when Kathy walks through the door, it's like the carnival has just come to town. Because it's just like, clear this out, put up these things, blah, blah. It just takes charge and transforms a place like you've never seen before. And somehow she finagles so much free food and everything from
so
many places.
Unbelievable. And again, without her doing the coordinating, and then St. Joe's food program. That's where we get a lot of our food.
Where do you get your food from?
St. Joe's, and then Freedom Center, and Loaves and Fishes. Right. And these places are so valuable to us because we can't afford to feed all these veterans without, you know, help from the community. And one thing other people don't know, and I'm just going to mention this, is the Fox Valley is got the most veterans per capita in anywhere in the United States.
Isn't that something?
Wow.
Yeah, I remember that research that was on that program. Yeah. How did Jim, how do you guys get your food?
It pretty much the same way. You know, we run on a lot of volunteers. As a matter of fact, what I do is reach out to more volunteers because you got to serve the food too. I mean, you want to show respect and you want to cook the food, prepare, which takes a few hours depending on what you're having. And then you need to serve the food. And then, but in terms of we ask people, Johnny and I were talking a little bit earlier, we can serve people for about $1.30 per person, which is pretty good. Now, it's very good, actually. But you may take some. We get donations from American Food Groups, from JBS, and we just appreciate that. And when we buy food, and we do, if we go to either the farmer's market or some of these grocery stores, they really give us a good discount. And you know, they have to make maybe a little bit of money, but it's a significant discount. And we're so appreciative, and I don't think you can't say it enough, because we couldn't do it without them. I mean, right? And we just can't. And what you're doing for veterans, I'm not sure I was aware of that statistic, that you have the most veterans per capita anywhere in the United States. So, you know, God bless you for reaching out to that market, because they're obviously, they're there.
Yeah.
And as we said, we could see it, Arden, who's 99, going to be 99, and you'll have some kids come through that are 22, 23. And I think that's what's so cool. It's such a great mix, and it's just kind of homogeneous. You know, everybody just blends with everybody else.
We had a young 10-year-old came in last Wednesday, and he gave us gift cards for the organization. And he had his birthday party, and instead of any kind of presents, he asked his friends to bring gift cards for the vets.
Wow.
That kid's going to grow up to be something special. And boy, if you can engage the youth, that's the answer, right? It's nice that your older veterans are sharing stories with the younger veterans, that the younger veterans are obviously sharing stories with the older veterans. And that camaraderie that we talked about, that long-lasting fellowship, that's awesome what you're doing there. We want to tell our listeners how they can help, the contact information. So, Vicki, you want to
And what do you need?
Yeah, right.
And then when are you going to start winning Green Bay that I can work with? That'll be never.
We can always use canned foods, donated. Like, we never get canned carrots. It seems like no one ever brings us carrots. So we have beans, we have corn, but we never get carrots.
I'm a big fan of the canned carrots.
And that's what you
for
need.
For soups and stuff.
Yeah,
I make homemade soups and stuff, so it's easier than cutting up carrots and boiling them all and putting them in. But carrots are something we could use. Any kind of vegetables or frozen things or meats or
pickled red beets.
Oh, pickled red beets.
Big fan of them too.
Over a gallon a week we go through on Wednesdays. That just Wednesdays we put out pickled beets and we go through over a gallon a week. It is unbelievable. I mean, but we try to pump vegetables and fresh fruits. So anything like that. And, you know, of course, money that we can buy the things if we don't get them through St. Joe's. And we can only get so much. Their intake of people now is greater than ever, too, you know, so.
Can't say as I'd put a big dent in those pickled red beets. They might.
Well, I was surprised you had a beet salad the other day when we were together.
I did.
You had a beet salad.
I did. It's because of that weight thing. I thought that's the only reason I had the beet salad was to get my $100
bucks out of
you.
How do you not like beets? Beets are phenomenal.
Not beets. I wouldn't like order them if they're there. Anyway, that's great.
Okay, if you're in a buffet line, do you take beets?
No, I don't think I'd pass.
Really?
That.
If you're at Mahout's, you wouldn't have taken the beets?
I don't think so.
Wow. That's disappointing.
Canned carrots, though, that we can work on that.
Okay.
And you do the cooking, too? Do you need volunteers for cooking, or is that pretty much out of the kitchen?
A lot of people help me out to do different things. I do a lot of it, but on Fridays we have a couple, Bob and Kathy Somm, that come in every week. Jan comes in every week. I mean, we have people who are there twice a week. Right. Mary Van Handel. I mean, they come in and help and make things and ahead of time, you know, like cut up a watermelon or something, because it all takes time.
It does.
It all takes time, you know.
You have some phenomenal desserts there too.
The volunteers are so generous. They bring in pans of wonderful desserts and stuff like that. And of course, the people line up sometimes to get dessert before they even
You're not going to believe this. But one time I got there and the line was really long for the regular food in the buffet. I just went to the dessert and filled up a tray of our plate of desserts. I really did. It was so phenomenal.
What makes you think I wouldn't believe that? Of course I believe that. Guys, look at yourself. The youth group too, and I'm sure you're reaching out to them, but you know, some of these schools, I don't know if Xavier has service hours, but whether they do or not, the right thing to do is to be engaged in your community, because the reason we have such a good community is because of people like you, and we all need to work together. And so I think it would be a great opportunity for the schools or for anybody to come in and just, I mean, you're serving people who is the reason you're here. Right. They defended this country so that you have the opportunity to go to school and to, you know, have a career and to do what you'd like to do. So, yeah, thank you for doing this. This is so important. And like Johnny said, you know, anything we can do for you, you know, if you're having an event or something, but we'd like to promote it.
Thank you.
Our job is to engage the community with each other, and we're doing that. And we've just had some great guests on, and you're one of them, to just talk about people. Sometimes they drive by a building or they hear something, but they don't really know about it. And now that they know about you and they know that Vets and Friends, you know, needs people and is really, again, you don't talk about it, but it is saving lives. It really is. You're lifting their spirits.
And not just from the food.
Right. That's what I
think that's as important as any aspect of it.
We've had people come in who, when they left, they said, oh, I made a friend today. They invited me to a Timber Rattlers game. Right. I haven't been out with anybody, had a sick wife, was taking care of her. And now they come because they have lost all their friends.
I remember there's this one gentleman I talked to all the time, and he'd lost his wife.
Yes.
And, you know, he'd tell me about it. This was his way of getting out of the house and looked forward to it all the time and meeting people and talking to people. And I think it's important. So I'm serious about this. I want to at least try this, not full time, but maybe once a month or something like that in Green Bay here, Jim, for that. So I need your guidance and advice. I won't ask for your sweat equity, but just your guidance and advice how we could put something together even once a month in Green Bay for veterans.
We'll work on that.
And do that. John is sincere. He, though, will go to the dessert bar first. But he is sincere about this. That guy's got a heart of gold when it comes to the veterans. And, anything we can do to help, we'd be happy to do that.
What is your, because everybody has a mission inside of themselves. Okay, you can put together a nice little mission statement, but there's something really deep inside in the pit of your stomach that makes you feel good. For each of you, Vicki and Dennis, what is yours? What's that win?
I just like seeing the smiles on their faces that they think we're doing something for them that's good, and I think we are, so.
Beautiful. Vicki?
Well, a lot of them, it's their entertainment of the week. Yep. It's a free meal, I know that, but they come and they get to sit at the tables, and now we see them, each table kind of sitting together. They're becoming friends. They're nowhere to go, and they do things outside of Vets and Friends of Wisconsin that is more than just coming there. So, they meet people, and they have a life again.
And, you know, I just want to give you guys kudos on something else, though. Freedom is so big. The VFW, the American Legion, the auxiliaries are so, honest to goodness, Jim, I think of any community, they are more dedicated on a year-round basis to observing veterans' occasions and really respecting those that have gone before us. Where did that come from? I mean, I've spoken at your events several times, and it's just amazing what Freedom does for their veterans.
Well, they have one veteran, Dennis Peters, and he really puts that community together.
It's incredible.
At VFW, I mean, last night we had our picnic, our annual picnic, and I think we had 75 people there.
I believe it.
Eating burgers and brats.
Yeah.
And you should have seen the desserts.
I can imagine.
So I guess it's just my dad was in the VFW, and now I'm in the VFW, and it's just kind of a tradition, I guess, that people keep giving.
I loved the night I spoke for Memorial Day. It was kind of like downtown, and they had the band out there. It was their band did the Cadence.
High school band.
They had just come from like the state sectional softball game where they had played, and they did a Cadence with wagons and that all the way from the high school over to this like the park in downtown, and it was so solemn. And then so many people turned out, and it's beautiful. Wasn't that a great night?
Yes, John, and you gave a great speech that night.
Well, really, thanks.
Seriously.
He said it, John. Okay, all right. Thank you for coming in. No, although John does, you do a great job of that.
The wife, my wife got mad at me, though, that night. Because I told the priest
right before
I went out, I said, did you know I'm in the Altar Boy Hall of Fame? Oh, yeah. He goes, what? I said, yeah, my hassock is retired in the Vatican.
It's cassock.
He's like, but you're lying to priests.
Thank you for what you're doing. This is, and people want to volunteer, you know, it's Vets and Friends on Capitol Drive in Appleton.
It's remarkable. Jim, we got to go down sometime. It's remarkable what they do.
Come anytime.
We can talk about it, but you have to experience it. Yes.
Save the desserts for Johnny.
All right. Dennis, Vicki, congratulations on what you guys do. It's truly, truly inspiring.
Thank you very much for having us.
You got it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here, 97.9 FM, 1590 AM, WGBW. Also live streamed. We've got the podcast working. We've got all those kinds of things going on here these days because
we're getting there.
We're getting there.
We are getting there. We are.
And we are getting there.
I thought I knew a lot about the community, but we're learning a lot too, right, as hosts? I mean, there's just a lot of good things going on. And yeah, people who, if you know of an organization in your community, and like I said yesterday, you know, our reach is pretty significant, and we'd love to talk to them. I mean, what we're going to do is, like we said, you know, engage the community, and if there's an organization like Vets and Friends or, you know, the New Community Shelter, people who
all the nonprofits, let us know. Glad to help.
Right, that are lifting lives. They're making us be this number one community that we have here. But, you know, our events that are going on too, right? I mean, you and I like going to events. I've always liked going to events, and there's so many things happening. Then, if we can help get the word out, you know, we feel an obligation to Northeast Wisconsin to, tell people about what's going on the local level.
And I'm just going to throw out my email, john.maino, the number 57 at yahoo.com. John.maino, 57 at yahoo.com. Right. Who's 57 for the Packers back in the day?
Yeah, Bart Starr.
Ken Bowman. Who was really got the shaft. He really and truly did. When you watch the famous block by Jerry Kramer in the Ice Bowl, Ken Bowman is the first guy to get underneath Jethro Pugh. He really is. So, and then Jerry finished him off. And Jerry never quite gave him the credit. And Jerry's a great friend of mine, wonderful friend of mine.
Really?
Yeah.
Didn't someone run back to the coach and say, look, this is the play we should call because I can get under his shoulder pad? Is that how did that block happen?
You know, there have been so many stories about that. They're really and truly. Actually, we should get Tony Walter back on to talk about that. He wrote that book in the Ice Bowl, because there have been so many versions of what happened in the last few seconds of that whole thing.
Right. And
but one thing is legit, because Chuck Mersine, he was the running back who Lombardi picked up during the course of the season. Elijah Pitts and Jim Grabowski both had season-ending injuries against the Baltimore Colts that season, okay?
Right.
So they needed a running back. They had Donnie Anderson, who I always thought was overrated. Did I ever tell you my Donnie Anderson story?
Yeah, tell me. We got a couple minutes. All right.
First Packer game I ever go to, like 1966, I think it was, okay? And exhibition game. We always got to go to the Bishop's charity game.
Right.
All right, so we'd come down. It was so much fun. We'd stay at Devroy's Motel. Do you remember Devroy's Motel?
No.
You don't remember Devroy's Motel?
No.
It had a bowling alley, which was so cool. We could bowl. You don't remember that?
What a weekend.
Yeah, yes. Then we'd go to Military Golf Land. Remember Military Golf Land?
I don't.
Then we'd go to Shopko Liquor. My dad would buy all kinds of brandy. I remember that. That was a big thing. And we would buy, what kind of soda or pop? We always just called it pop. What kind of pop? Like Jolly Good or Fango or something like that. It was like 8 cents a can. But it wasn't like Coke or Pepsi. It was just like cola, right, root beer,
right?
You know.
I bet that was a big deal for you, Youpers.
Huge. So huge, it's mind-boggling.
That was your Disney World.
That was our summer vacation.
Yeah.
That was our summer vacation. Was coming to Green Bay. Then we go to like Sears to buy school clothes.
Wow.
Shopko was incredible. We didn't have any of those things, so it was mind-boggling. So anyway, we come down, okay? We go to Shopko. I buy this little book to get autographs. We go to the game. There's like literally nobody else in the parking lot. We're that early to the game, okay? Just waiting for the guys. They're at my little autograph book,
yeah,
the whole thing. And as actually, even I got a picture taken. I sat in Vince Lombardi's parking place and said, you know, reserve Vince Lombardi. And wow. It was great. So this big Lincoln Continental pulls up. Oh, yeah. And these two really big, tall guys get out. And one was Boyd Dowler. Mm-hmm. Okay. He was like 6'5". Okay. Really nice guy. The other one was Donnie Anderson.
Okay.
And he was like my sister's hero and everything. He was the number one draft pick. And Paul Horning had always been my guy. So now it was going to be Donnie Anderson. And I go right up to him. And my dad had told me how to ask, you know. And I go, excuse me, sir, Mr. Anderson, may I have your autograph, please? And he goes, I can't sign your autograph, son. My hands are full. See me after the game. And I'll never forget this. What? He is carrying a pair of alligator skin shoes and a bottle of Aqua Velva. And I go, I'll hold your Aqua Velva. And he goes, nah, see me later. And my dad got P.O.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, wow, there's your big hero. Big hero, Donnie Anderson. Too good to sign an autograph for a little kid. Big hero, Donnie.
That's awesome.
Yes.
Wow, that's too bad, John. Yeah. Did you ever come around and
get his autograph? Ran into Donnie Anderson at the Super Bowl in Dallas in 2010.
Really?
So he was going around doing the rounds of the thing. And I said, Donnie, there was a time one time I was at a Packer game. And, boy, I was so excited to meet this player. And the guy had a pair of alligator shoes and a bottle of Aqua Velva and basically told me to get lost to see him after the game. I said, I'll never forget that. I go, do you remember that? He goes, sort of. I go, really? He goes, was that you? I go, yeah, it was. So he signed a big autograph thing for me. Yes.
Okay, so yeah. you man's with, you think he's a pretty good guy now?
He's a guy.
Some of those guys could have been nicer.
Could have been nice. Because, you know, Lee Remmel always had a saying. Yeah. They start saying hello when it's time to say goodbye.
That's interesting.
Yes.
You can think about that.
They all of a sudden become nice guys when they see the end.
Right.
And they realize what jerks some of them had been up till then.
And look, we'll never get to that level, but the admiration, the starry eyes these little kids have, girls and boys.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, so we had this kids' day in Green Bay, and some of the Packers, it was hard to get them here, but to a little kid, an athlete from UWGB is, and they are the nicest
and
athletes
it's so
on
easy.
The planet. It's so easy to sign something.
I don't care
if
you're having a bad day. I don't care.
Pat him in
it's
the
so
head.
Easy to be nice to somebody and right. sign an autograph or whatever.
So there's a lot more of that. But the Packers, some of those guys, because we've had similar stories with Paul Horning.
Oh, yeah. I got a great one with Paul Horning.
I had a couple, too.
Okay. Can I say a quicker Twift time? How much time do we have, Jason? 2 minutes. Okay. Paul Horning story. And this happened to a good friend of mine. Okay. And so he played for the Manitowoc Chiefs. That's a semi-pro football team.
Yeah.
So after one of the games, I've been telling this girl, hey, come to my game, Manitowoc Chiefs, you know, blah, blah, blah. So they go out and they go to the left guard or the right end, whichever one it was in Manitowoc, right? Mm-hmm. Fuzzy Thurston and Max McGee's place. Right. So he's with this girl sitting at the bar, and Paul Horning walks in. And he goes, tells his girlfriend, I'm just run to the men's room real quick, and I'll be right back, okay? By the time he got out of the men's room, his girlfriend was gone and Paul Horning was gone. Yes. Picked him up that quick, okay? Yes. But Paul Horning left his gold-plated Pro Bowl cigarette lighter on the bar. My buddy Joe still has the cigarette lighter. Paul no longer has the girl. So he feels like he won on that one.
He probably did.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, okay, man. We're running out of time. Is that the hard wrap? Oh, no, okay. Okay, right. Do I have another time for one more Horning story?
Well, or we Super can tell quick. About our guests that are coming up next couple of days. But yeah, we have, you know, the rest of the week is pretty
tomorrow's cool. Going to be phenomenal. John Nordgaard, Jeff Nordgaard's dad, Vietnam veteran, combat medic, an incredible story of finding his lost medals after 52 years. Yeah. And then Thursday, for all the old Flying Monkey listeners from my old radio show, Mino and Nick, we got Big Wayne Stiegelman, who has been a professional bodybuilder, has been a professional physical therapist, which he also does now, and is a hardcore beekeeper. And I've never talked to a beekeeper before.
That will be fun. And we're also going to talk about, besides bees.
And we're going to also talk about how he got hit by a snowplow one time and knocked over a bank. And how he tried to electrocute his roommate. Long story.
And we're going to bring a little culture to the show as well. We're going to have Matt Gable from the Meyer Theater as one of our guests, telling us what's going up in the downtown when it comes to entertainment. In the Meyer Theater and at the Resch Center. So, yeah, stay tuned in. We appreciate our listeners. We're happy you're with us. It's Mino and the Mayor.